We're talking today with Harry Birdwell, the Secretary of the Oklahoma School Land Commission, or Commissioners of the Land Office, CLO. Harry, let's talk a little bit about the concept of the Oklahoma School Land Commission. This goes back to the days when Oklahoma was organized as a state.
It does. It even goes further than that. Thomas Jefferson had the idea of right after the United States purchased the Louisiana Purchase, so that was nearly at the beginning of the 19th century. And the idea was, as the United States developed westward, it would be important for there to be a well-educated population. So it was President Jefferson's idea to give the respective states, as they became states in the United States, grants of land to manage specifically for the benefit of public education, generate income to supplement funding for public education. And we've done that since the first day of the state of Oklahoma. And as a result, this constitutional trust that was established owns and manages, for the benefit of public education, 1 million acres of land and 1,200,000 acres of mineral interests across the state. And we have over time accumulated invested trust funds of nearly $2.5 billion. And so all those things are used, and the income generated each year is distributed to the K through 12 school districts and several of the higher education institutions in the state each year.
I thought it was interesting as we talked, getting ready to sit down and do this, the conversation, this recorded conversation, you talked about that some states chose not to use the monies in a long view. In other words, a long perspective. But they spent the money right away, and they have nothing to show for it.
Several of the states, mostly east of the Mississippi River, sold their land and divested of all their land holdings. Most west of the Mississippi actively manage their land holdings, and as a result have multi-billion-dollar trusts that generate funds for their school districts in the respective states.
Let's talk a little bit about the land that you're actually managing on behalf of Oklahoma's education system. This is land that you're leasing on a regular basis, and you're making sure that the land is properly cared for. You're being a responsible steward of the land as well.
Correct. This is a trust in perpetuity, and so we have an obligation as stewards of the land to maintain it well, to prevent soil erosion, to develop the water resources on the land, so that it's a blessing for the people of Oklahoma a century from now. And so we spend a lot of effort and money each year for soil conservation improvements and developing water resources and drilling water wells, improving pond structures, et cetera, so that the land is more valuable tomorrow than it is today.
And so as a result, as you do that, you're not literally, when you lease an acreage, a plot of land to a leaseholder for a five-year period, not 100% of that money is going to go back to education. Some of it is going to go back to taking care of the land.
Some does, but all the net income is available for distribution. But one of the priorities up front is, what do we need to do to be sure that that the land is properly cared for and properly managed? Our field staff across the state work with the lessees to be sure that the land isn't overgrazed or overproduced. We want to be sure that that it continues to be a productive asset that support education in the state.
You mentioned the leaseholders. This is a rotating auction system over a five-year period. All the land is turned over on a every five-year basis. And this year, you start mid-October.
We do. The first lease auction will be October the 16th. The final one this year will be October the 31st. 9 different locations. There will be 540 tracts of land that will be leased for a five-year period this year. And to find out information about those lease auctions, I would advise your listeners to go to clo.ok.gov, and all the information about the tracts and the parcels and any requirements and restrictions on the leasing of the land will be available there on our website.
I know that you talk about as you advertise these auction locations and everything, that this is something that in some cases it may be farmland, it may be land suitable for ranching or for recreation.
Yes, and those conditions for the use of the land by the lessees are identified in the on the website. Some are ideal recreation and hunting, fishing locations, and that's the primary use. Some for cropland, for cropping, and some for grazing. But all those use restrictions and conditions are listed on the website, clo.ok.gov.
I know that down through the years, you've probably had this question many times, but why the public outcry or the open outcry at specific locations? You know, in this day and age, we see a lot of auctions go digital and go electronic and go over the internet. Why staying with the system that you've got in place?
It is a constitutional system, and a public auction is required by the state constitution for those lands that are leased for the purposes we mentioned. Now, in the case of mineral auctions, and we have 1,200,000 acres of mineral interests across the state, those are done by a closed bid system where you submit, or there are also electronic auctions for those, but that's just minerals only. The surface leases are by constitution required to be public auctions, live public auctions.
What's the future hold for the Oklahoma School Land Commission? How do you see this particular system working in the next 5, 10, and even 50 years down the road?
Well, I'm very optimistic that it's going to continue to grow. For example, the changes that have been made over the last 10 years have resulted in our doubling the income that we're able to distribute to public education institutions, and that's a great thing. When we're in an environment of scarcity in terms of state resources, over the last 10 years, we've been able to double the amount of money that goes to public education in the state. That's a great thing for our children and grandchildren. The other thing that is just so gratifying is that because we've taken care of the land and set priorities for its use, and we are using land that is better suited for commercial activity to generate even more income. In some cases, grazing is not the best use of our land. At some points in time, we have been able to exchange certain agricultural parcels for commercial parcels that generate more money. So the idea is we are the stewards of this land to maintain it and to maximize the earnings from it, whatever the use.